welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod, where we talk to all the interesting people in the San Luis Valley. In this episode, we're joined by Alamosa County Treasurer Amy McKinley and Assessor Jason Duncan. They recently issued an explainer on reasons for property tax hikes that you may see in your 2025 property tax bill. Welcome, Amy and Jason. It's glad to have you here on the Valley Pod. Appreciate you coming in this morning. It's good to see you both.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, yeah. Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
This is a big topic and probably one of your annual pains in the butt. I'm going to say that for you. But I really appreciated what you put out, Jason and Amy, a couple of weeks ago when you wanted to, I guess, be proactive and help people understand what they may see when it comes to their property tax bill 2025 and possible increases. Let me start there and why you thought that was an important step to take or what you're trying to get across with that message that you put out a couple of weeks ago. Is it really an explainer of your 2025 property tax bill and what you're going to see or why you're seeing it?
So my goal really is just to be transparent with our citizens and the taxpayers. So when I started looking at our property tax calculations that we just did recently in the last couple of weeks, it came to my attention that there was some pretty big hikes, bigger than I was expecting really to see. So I wanted to just get that out there so folks would hopefully understand a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to be happy with tax increases, right? I mean, it's one of those things that nobody likes, but unfortunately, it's just the way the dice fell, I guess, in this situation. And this, I can go into it a little bit later, but this has really been kind of a slow motion train crash that started back in 21.
Gotcha. And we're gonna get into that with the Colorado legislature, how they establish property tax rates for all of us that then you have to follow as an individual county. Before we get a little bit deeper there, I want to kind of back up a minute. And I just want you, Jason and Amy, to explain how the two of you work in terms of the roles you play. You're the treasurer, Amy, of Alamosa County. You take the money in. You understand where the money's coming from. Jason, you're the assessor of Alamosa County. Your role there is assessment of property valuations, right? Explain those two as just briefly, succinctly, plainly about how the two of you function as government, county government agencies. Let's start with Jason.
Okay. What we're tasked with in what we do is the discovery and valuation of taxable real property, or taxable real and even personal property in the county. Let me back up a little bit. So we have three methods of evaluation we can use for most property.
Gotcha.
There's the market value, which is, you know, what it would sell for on an open market. There is the income approach, which for commercial properties, how much a property can take in income, and that is used as a basis for the valuation of that property.
Gotcha.
And then there is a replacement value. So if you were to build a building, property, whatever, build a building, what the replacement value would be, what it would cost to rebuild that less any depreciation, like if the building was, you know, 20 years old, we depreciate it down.
Right.
So those are the three approaches we use for valuation. With residential property, we are locked into the market rate, the market valuation. And that is put on us by the Colorado Constitution and the laws that the legislature has put down. So
that's the market valuation of a residential property. That's where people, homeowners, property owners, residential owners, don't grasp why their valuations keep going up, right? Year after year, decade after decade. It's that market valuation that you're getting taxed on or you're getting assessed around. But you don't have, as an owner of that property, a whole lot of control around that. The market does that for you, right? Based on home sales, based on the supply and demand of property that's around, right? And what the market will bear for a sale, or even if you're renting your house, what you can rent it for, right? That's the market that we just, as owners, we don't can't control that. We just roll with that. And I think that's where we run into questions and say, why? Why my house? A quick example. At $500,000, and we did this last year, my wife and I got the valuation. I said, that seems high. So we did as you can do. We appealed it, or we submitted a form and said, we think this is too high, and here's our reasons for that. My wife and I did that last year. Got a response from Alamosa County, assessor's office, I guess it was, and they agreed. They said, yeah, and they came by the house, looked at inside the house, and they said, okay, and they brought it down to a little bit. So we said, okay, that worked, but not many people take that step. And I guess the question is, explain the market valuation, and we don't have control on that.
Yeah, that's one thing that, you know, and I have no control over it either. It's one of those things that, you know, it just depends on the influx of folks into the valley or whatever it is that are driving those property values up. So we reappraise the entire county on a 2-year cycle. Every odd year is a reappraisal year. So in 25 was a reappraisal year. The next reappraisal year will be in 2027. Excuse me. So what we do is we take data from an 18-month period prior to that. So for the 25 reappraisal, we used sales data from January 1st of 2023 through June 30th of 2024. So that 18-month period is our what we call our data collection period. And that we take sales from that time period. We can go back in rare instances if there aren't enough sales during that period. We can go back in 6-month increments if we need to. And we take the sales during that time period, and we break them down by class of property, really, or by style of home. Mm-hmm. We have different what we call neighborhoods in the valley that we consider like areas. Mm-hmm. And then we use different types of homes. Sales in those, like, ranch-style homes are compared with other ranch-style homes. We don't use a 2-story home.
Gotcha.
To value a ranch home or whatnot. So we break those down and we, you know, run the data and see what we come up with as far as basically a base price per square foot. And then our computer system basically takes that base price per square foot and mass appraises all of the homes in that category. And using factors that we've input into our system, like condition, quality, square footage, those types of things. And basically spits out a value for the property.
Yeah.
And you know, we do get things wrong. I mean, we are human. We've got humans working the office, and sometimes it just, we don't have the data. Maybe our,
well, and that's why I brought up my case, because it was good for us to challenge that valuation, because then the county did follow up. They did bring people in, or someone came by, they looked at what we said versus what it showed on paper, and they agreed with us, right? That's a good step. And I don't know how many people take that step to say, hey, hold on, I'm not sure you're seeing my house the right way. But then you make an assessment, the bills go out, and then the money comes in to Amy McKinley as the Alamosa County Treasurer. And I'm going to guess, Amy, that's where the phones may start to ring and say, I can't pay this. I don't know. Give us some flavor of your life there.
Yes, we do collect all the money for the county. We act as the bank for the county. So we not only collect the property taxes, but we also collect any money receipted in through any department in the county, Road and Bridge, Sheriff's Office, Public Health, Department of Human Services. So we act as the bank. We receipt that into our system. We make the deposit with our actual bank. And then at the end of the month, we distribute all of the funds accordingly. So we have 24 entities that we distribute to. most of the school districts, any school district that has boundaries that lie within Alamosa County, along with things like the ambulance district, the mosquito control district, water districts, et cetera.
So that's 24 taxing districts or 24 independent districts that have the ability to levy a tax on your property that you collect, distribute to them.
Yes, and so we distribute about 51% and the county keeps about 49%. But yes, it's going to be a very difficult season. Jason completed the tax roll that he has to do on his software very timely. He got that to me. But he is on one software and I'm on a different one. And with the legislative changes that were made specific to taking away the $55,000 exemption that has been in place, along with the way they want the school district assessed value broken out on this year's tax notice, none of the software companies were prepared, and it costs a lot of money for them to make changes. So right now, I am still waiting for my software company to be able to accept Jason's files. They've been testing them for over a week now and cannot get them to load into my software, their software, correctly.
I love hearing about the bureaucracy and how it functions. I love to hear those things. I'm just kind of weird that way. Because people don't, again, you know, one of our goals here is always to try to open a door for people to see inside how an agency functions and works, because there's really good learnings and knowledge if you understand how the government works and how the different county agents, and the way you're explaining it between the software being able to read, that in itself is a little monkey wrench thrown into the system that screws things up.
Yes. So as soon as we can get those files functioning, we will be mailing out the tax notices. And unfortunately, because it affects myself, it affects Jason, it affects all of our property taxpayers, they're going to see an increase. And that increase is going to be more than they're probably anticipating. In the past, on previous software, we were able to take partial payments, and so I would work with the people to try to break that down, make it as affordable as possible. Our current software will not accept partial payments, and therefore most property softwares won't accept partial payments, and actually statutorily we're not supposed to. So another company called escrowtaxes.com has gone into the business of doing that for people. And so anybody that's interested and needs their property tax broken down, they should definitely look into escrowtaxes.com. It's a monthly payment broken down. They charge $1 a month to process it if you use your checking account. They charge like 3% if you use a credit card. But ultimately, I will do my very best to work with everyone to try to allow them to function within their budget and still pay their property taxes without having penalties and interest and ultimately going to the tax lien sale, because it's going to be a very difficult year.
I want to ask a couple of things here, because one, well, let me ask you first, Amy, what is a typical default rate? And maybe that's not the right term, but I'm thinking people that don't pay their taxes or can't, for whatever reason that year, can't pay, didn't pay their tax. What is a annual percentage or default rate on that, on just property tax delinquencies?
So if it's just within the first half of the year, so January to basically October, that is just 1% per month. But once we hit October, we add on a $75 advertising fee, or whatever the fee is we get from the publication paper. We have to add that on. And then once it actually goes to tax lien sale in the month, late October or early November, the default rate is 8% plus whatever the banking commission sets. So for instance, for the 2024 taxes that went to sale in November of 25, the interest rate is going to be 14% annually.
Interesting.
So a little over 1%.
Better than, Hey, let me ask, because Jason, you, when we started this conversation, you were explaining the concern you had when you started to see the bills that you were going to put out, or the assessments and the increase there. What are you seeing in terms of the size of increases? Are we talking 2%, 1%, 5%? How much are we talking when someone sees their property tax bill and compares it to a year ago? What is that? Because that's where it sounds like you had some alarm when you saw that.
Yeah, that's so when I kind of was going through the calculations, I looked at my own personal property, right? Mm-hmm. And just to see where I was at. My tax bill in 24 was around $1,600. My 2025 tax bill is going to be somewhere in the range of $2,200. So we are talking pretty good increase. I didn't run the numbers in percentage wise, but we could be talking anywhere from 20 to 40% increases from 24 in people's tax bills.
So let's stay there, because one of the explanations you provided is the reasons for seeing that. And I want to get a little bit more on that. We've had Cleve Simpson in here, the state senator, talking about these problems when they're in a special session and how they use your property as a way to kind of solve their problems in Denver. And it sounds like in reading what you've put out from Alamosa County on an explanation for this year's increases, it does point back to the recent action of the legislature and their special sessions that we saw as they come to grips with their own budget shortfalls. And that may be a simplification of what I just said there, but take us there a little bit more. Give us a little bit more depth on why we're seeing the increases.
So the increase this year, I think we can attribute a lot of it to that legislative action. That legislative action wasn't necessarily bad. I don't want to come across as saying that was bad, because what it did was it lowered people's taxes. They didn't see a huge jump in like 23 when it would have jumped. So like I said earlier, this was kind of a slow moving train crash that started in 21. January of 21 through June of 22 was our data collection period for the 23 reappraisal. Those home prices at that time shot up considerably. I think we saw for our 23 reappraisal, I think we saw somewhere around a 40% increase in people's home values in Alamosa County. Mm-hmm. And I'm not completely sure of the reasons why, but my gut tells me that it was a lot of folks during the pandemic were working from home, right? Mm-hmm. And those people didn't want to be in the cities anymore. So they were able to sell their home in, say, Denver or Colorado Springs for $500,000-$700,000. And you come down here with that kind of money, and people were overpaying, I think, for homes, because our inventory was low, and it still is low.
Well, I remember in that period too, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I remember hearing that there was $1 million sale in that period of a home in Alamosa, because I remember, and everyone's like, someone sold a home in Alamosa for $1 million. And I was like, wow, I remember that.
Yeah, we've seen at least one, if not two, homes that have sold for $1 million or more in Alamosa County. And we've seen a larger percentage of higher values, higher sale prices on some homes too.
Yeah.
And I think, like I said, I think those people fleeing the city kind of, and I don't think it was, you know, it wasn't specific to Alamosa County. I think it happened in a lot of rural counties. Yeah. Across the state in 23, property values were up by a lot. There were some counties in Colorado that saw a 98% increase in home values, so almost double, basically. And so the legislature saw that, and they tried to get together and say, we need to do something about this. People can't, you know, absorb a 40 to 50% increase or more in their tax bills. So they called that special session, and that's when they came up with, hey, we're going to reduce your value by $55,000 before we even start any tax calculations. We're going to take $55,000 off the top. And then, you know, and so they did that, which helped, especially the lower valued homes. I mean, if you've got a home that's worth $150,000, that's basically 30% off of your value right there.
Right, right.
You know, wasn't as big of a thing for the higher valued homes. But So they did that, and that was in place for 2 years, for 24 and or for 23 and 24. So, you know, that 40% increase in home values is still there. We carried it through in 25 when we reappraised. I think our median home increase in Alamos County was right around 12%. It was like 11.96 or something. It was really close to 12%. And so you talk about a 40% increase from 23, 12% increase in 25. You know, so you're probably 50% or more higher, you know, 60, 70% higher value than you were just a few years ago. So now with that $55,000 exemption expiring, that basically your home value shot up by $55,000 overnight, right? And without any, you know.
Your explanation here helps make sense, because what a legislature did was offer temporary tax relief in the years that you're talking about. They lowered it to offer temporary relief because they were getting blowback from property owners in the state of Colorado. They reduced it temporarily. Now it comes back. This cycle, it goes back up because they need the money. And we're in the situation that the two of you are trying to explain to people why their property tax bill is going up when they see their 2025 assessment. We're talking to Amy McKinley, Jason Duncan. This is the Valley Pod. We'll be right back.
The Southern Rocky Mountain Ag Conference is February 3rd through the 5th in Monta Vista at the spacious, comfortable, and professional Sky High Conference and Event Center. The theme, Managing the Chaos, Harnessing Complexity, Planting Hope, hits at the heart of what ag producers are facing these days in the San Luis Valley. The educational programs will feature a record 50 sessions, including talks, panels, and demonstrations. Register by contacting the SLV Area Extension Office at 719-852-7381. That's 719-852-7381 to register. The Southern Rocky Mountain Ag Conference. Managing the chaos, harnessing complexity, planting hope.
Hey, we're back. This is the Valley Pod. We're talking to Amy McKinley. She's the Alamosa County Treasurer. We're talking to Jason Duncan. He's the Alamosa County Assessor. We're talking about 2025 property tax assessments, property tax bills that you're going to see. Before we resume that conversation, I want to just kind of flag a couple of upcoming events for everyone. We have that Rio Frio Ice Fest coming January 24th, 25th, and 26th. That's a lot of fun. Downtown Alamosa on the riverbanks of the Rio Grande. The Rio Frio 5K is Saturday the 25th. Check the Valley calendar on alamosacitizen.com for more information on the Rio Frio Ice Fest. And then in early February, we have the annual Southern Rocky Mountain Conference, Southern Rocky Mountain Ag Conference at the Sky High Complex in Monta Vista. Those dates are February 3rd through the 5th. You want to register for that conference. It's a good conference to go to. I like to go to the Ag Conference. Amy, do you go to the Ag Conference?
I have never been.
Yeah, it's worthwhile. I mean, you see all. It's big show, too, big trade show. Pretty much everyone in the Valley that's in Ag and then in the southern part of the state will show up for that. It's a good. Do you get, speaking of property assessments, property bills, take us to the county? Because Jason's been talking about, I think, a lot of city limits. And I wonder about assessments in the unincorporated part of county or what you see there, if that's any different.
So basically, what I was explaining is really applicable to the entire county. We've seen property increases in value across the county. No matter where the property is located, it's we've seen a pretty good increase, like you said, for the entire county. What I was speaking of was not really just in the city limits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Chris, just to clarify one thing, none of your property tax dollars go to the state. Every dollar that you spend in property taxes in Alamosa County stays local. It goes to the county. It goes to the mosquito district. It goes to the fire control fire districts, the water conservancy districts. It does not go to the state. None of your property tax dollars go to the state.
Which then brings in the question, Amy, of Is the revenue of Alamosa County, has it been growing because of property tax assessments, valuations increasing over the period of years? What does that do for the cash flow, if you will, of county government or the revenue that's available to the county government? I know you don't make those decisions, but you do report to the Board of County Commissioners on how much they have to spend on an annual basis. I guess the question becomes, because we're seeing valuations increase, we're seeing assessments, payments naturally are going to grow, what does that mean to the bottom line of Alamosa County government?
So you're correct. The commissioners do set the expenditure budget, and they also look and calculate the revenue budget. They have a CFO who does a great job of doing that. I do know that in 23 and 24, I don't recall the percentage, but they did estimate a lower percentage because of the effects of the $55,000. They did not talk to me at length about the revenue this year, and so I don't know what the CFO determined, because she usually, I think, works with Jason to try to get an idea and a grasp of that. What I do know is that we're typically 98 to 99% collected. So that means we collect all but about 1 or 2% of the total property tax dollars. And then ultimately, after the tax lien sale, as long as we sell all those properties to investors, we ultimately end up being 100% collected. And those revenue numbers are based on what the CFO and Jason determine, you know, from everything he learns throughout the year and all of the changes. My main goal as the treasurer is to invest all of the money we receive. And so I chase every interest rate that I can possibly chase. And of course, that depends on where the federal government is too, with, you know, all of those numbers. But in the last 2 years, we've made over $3 million in interest. So I've recorded two of the highest years, and that interest revenue then helps with our budgeting.
Is that typically certificates of deposit in a bank, right? Because they have to be obviously very safe investments that you're doing. But you are saying that you're finding some better returns recently for county as a whole, for all of us county taxpayers as a whole.
You're exactly right. I have an investment policy that I typically update every 2 years, and I typically use someone from the liquid government investment pools to help guide me through that process, because that's where their specialty is. I do currently serve on the CSLIP board, Centennial State Liquid Investment Pool. That is the newest fourth pool to the state of Colorado. And so between, I use all four pools in Colorado, Colo Trust, CSIP, CSLIP, and I'm at a loss for the other one.
You got to be really good at those acronyms, Amy.
Yeah. And then I also, of course, use local banks. The local banks treat the county extremely well by giving us CDs at the best interest they can obviously provide. But I do have to keep the money reasonably liquid as well. So that's what the liquid government investment pools are for, is to keep money liquid. But then I do invest in CDs to kind of ladder the return.
You know, what's interesting, I want to bring this, I want to note this for people that listen to this. And it's for our buddy Chris Mondragon, who's producing this episode of the Valley Pod, and others. Elected positions, county officials, both of you are elected county officials. County assessor, elected position, goes to the voters. County treasurer, elected position, goes to the voters. Let me ask you, what are the backgrounds, credentials, would you say, are necessary to run to be the county assessor, to run to be the county treasurer? Because you have to, you have to have some understanding of what you're trying to do in that office, assessments, valuations, how it works, investments, treasure, how it works. It's not just like, but give us some of that, because you're both elected, which I value that, because we have a choice then about who gets to do these jobs. Jason Duncan, Amy McKinney, and I think you're both running again or your offices are up for election in 2026. Give us a little bit of that flavor of why you decided to be a public official, public county official in your lives. I'm sure you didn't start that way when you're going through school, Jason. You didn't say, I'm going to be a county assessor.
No, it wasn't on my bingo card when I was in high school, for sure.
But they're good jobs, and you can do them, and they take a certain skill, though, is my point.
That's correct. I mean, for me, it's not as much the knowledge as it is the wanting to do the best by our citizens, right? I have this sense of public service that I've kind of grown throughout my life, and helping people, I don't think there's any greater aspiration, right? Helping others is really where we should be as a society, I think.
What was it in your background that said, I think I'm qualified to be the county assessor, and so I'm going to run for that office?
So my background is really in real estate title insurance. I grew up, my father was a owner of a local title insurance company. And I learned under his wing. And I did that for about 20 years. And at that point, it was time for a change. Mm-hmm. I approached Sandra and ended up getting a job under Sandra Hostetter, the previous assessor at the county.
Gotcha.
And, you know, learned under her for 5 years before she decided to ride off into the sunset and retire. Uh-huh. And then, you know, at that point I decided, you know, this is something that I could do.
Forgive me for not knowing this. Is this your first 4-year term as the county assessor, or were you in office before 2022?
No, 2021? I'm actually technically the interim county assessor.
Gotcha. Okay.
Sandra was reelected in 22.
Okay.
She retired at the end of 24.
Okay.
And then I was appointed by the county commissioners to serve the remainder of her term.
Have you made a decision about 2026?
I have.
Okay. And you're going to run?
I intend to run, yes.
Okay. We're going to jump over to Amy, because I don't know, Amy, did you count, were you counting coins when you grew up and counting dollar bills and saying, I'm going to be a treasurer? I don't know about, how do you become a treasurer? What was it that said, I'm qualified to run as Alamosa County Treasurer, I know what I'm doing?
Well, I guess kind of to start with, just in high school, I was one of those kids who wanted to participate in student council and those kinds of activities. So like being a leader was something I just always did. It kind of came natural. I have two younger siblings, so they tell me I was always bossy. So anyway, my goal was really to become a school teacher. That was what I wanted to do. But while attending Adams State, I kind of shifted towards the finance accounting type roles. And I was lucky enough to be hired at Department of Human Services. I was a recovery technician, and then I was an accounting technician, and then promoted to accountant, et cetera. Ultimately ended up working for county admin and spent 23 years at Alamosa County, working under some great leadership all of the time. But then there just came a time in my life where I was like, I want to do something else. So I went to Adams State University for almost a year and did their payroll there, which is huge. Absolutely one of the toughest jobs I ever did. And from there I went to the city of Alamosa and did their human resources. City's a great place to work. And I really love human resources, 'cause you can help people, right? So kind of like Jason said, I love helping people. And the best feeling, the best days I have are when I can help an elderly citizen, like when I can go to the counter and walk them through something and just help them, or for that matter, just help anyone, help someone that's young, learn how to buy a foreclosure. You know, just helping people is really the goal. Did I ever think I would be treasurer? No. Even when I started at Alamosa County, my goal was just to do the best I could. There was one time where one of the administrators approached me and said, hey, there's an opening. Why don't you become the county treasurer? I'm like, no way. I have two little kids. Can't do it right now. But that kind of planted the seed. And then the time was right in my life. My kids were gone. And
well, I appreciate both of you sharing the backstory of that you each had get to where you're at, because you want qualified people in these important roles of county government. At least I do. I want to know that the person that's the county assessor, the county treasurer, the county sheriff, whoever it is, county clerk and recorder, that they're qualified. They're not just running because there's a public job there, or that there's a payroll there, or there's a salary there, but they're running because, one, they're qualified, two, they have the right heart of representing county residents, taxpayers, people that live in the community. I think that's when you're looking to assess candidates for office. That's where I think I go anyway, is are they qualified? Can they do the job? Are they functional in that position? And we like this podcast to try to explain to people how some of this works. And we appreciate you both coming in to give us some explanation on each of your departments. I want to ask you this. What can property owners do if they see, when they see their bill and they want to challenge it, or they want to talk to you, or they want to vent at you, or they want to figure this out? What can they do?
Every May is what we call our appeal or protest period in our office, in the assessor's office. So if you feel your property is overvalued, now the overvalued and high taxes are really two different things. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are related. They go hand in hand. If you just think your taxes are too high, there's probably not a lot we can do for you in my office anyway. But if you feel our valuation is wrong, we can definitely take a look at it. And as you experience yourself, sometimes, you know, it does result in you know, a finding in your favor. I do want to caution people. The arrow can go both ways. Mm-hmm. If we get out to your property and, you know, we find some stuff that maybe we didn't have in inventory, or we measured your property wrong and we've, you know, we're short, you know, 500 square feet or something, your valuation can actually go up as well. Mm-hmm. I do want to caution people, but I ultimately want to be fair and equitable to all of our property owners. You know, we use the mass appraisal system, so we don't visit every property, every reappraisal. So we go on information we've had in our books for a while, right? So, and some of that information may be wrong, or maybe something has changed, or, you know, that we don't have record of.
So you have a period from May 1st to June 8th where you, as an individual property owner, can go and appeal your evaluation, go through the process just as you talked about, run that risk of maybe it's going to come down, maybe it's going to go up, or maybe we're going to agree it was right. That's an interesting process. Amy, what can you do, or what is your posture in this period of time?
So my posture would just be to call us if you don't understand, so that we can remind them about the appeal process. Just walk them through the payment plans so they don't end up paying interest or any extra fees on top of what is already possibly too high for them. My entire staff is great. I think they're all very personable. They all know the rules. I'm glad to talk to anyone if they specifically want to talk to me. We just basically give them the statutory obligations to avoid as many fees as possible. That, you know, there's not a ton that can be done because it is what it is based on all of the valuations and assessment and then the mill levies. But we will do our best to try to just walk them through that process.
I appreciate you both coming in and giving us your time explaining property tax assessments, property tax collection, how that all works, what we're going to possibly see when we get our tax bills for 2025 here in 2026. Been very helpful. Appreciate you coming in. Thanks for joining us on the Valley Pod. Valley Pod is, this episode of the Valley Pod is produced by Chris Mondragon. You've been listening to Amy McKinley and Jason Duncan. We'll see you around the Valley.